بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن عظمك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We studied the quality of life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also ended with a discussion about different types of life that human beings can have. We have physical life, and we can have also goodly life or pleasant life or hayata tayyiba, and we talked about it. Another quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we had talked about it in the session before last session, and just to have a review, I mentioned, is the quality of knowledge. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge in his essence, and also knowledge as a quality of action. In his essence, he has knowledge, because every perfection, every good quality that exists in the creatures come from the originating cause, from al-illat al-mufida. We know that among the creatures of Allah, some have knowledge. So this knowledge must exist in the first place in the Creator, because nothing good is here unless it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to limitations, to weaknesses, they don't come from the cause. But anything good comes from the top. Okay, so the creatures, like human beings, like jinns, like angels, they have knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have greater knowledge that has given part of it to us. Another argument was argument from design. Reflection on this world shows that there is intelligent designer, intelligent creator, because the world is very, very sophisticated. Lots of complexities exist in the world, which show that someone intelligent who had knowledge and power has designed this world. So this was a second argument. And the third argument was based on a philosophical rule. That rule should be studied in philosophy, but we can use it temporarily here, or, you know, something that we borrow from philosophy. We said that according to philosophers, salam alaikum, every immaterial being, every abstract being, every mujarrad is intelligent. كُلُّ مُجَرَّدٍ فَهُوَ عَقِلٍ. Everything which is immaterial has knowledge. And everything which has knowledge also is immaterial. كُلُّ عَقِلٍ فَهُوَ مُجَرَّدٍ. You can say it from both ways. This is, in logic, they say it X. So you can say it in the way that you start with Mujarrad and then Aghil, or you can say change the predicate and subject and say Kul Aghilin Fa'ul Mujarrad. Normally, this is not the case. Logically, when you say kullu pq, then it doesn't mean kullu q p. Yeah, every logically is sum p r q. Yeah, logic. But there are cases in which both can be correct, like here. Kullu aqilin fahuwa mujarrad, and also you can say kullu mujarradin fahuwa aqil. Everything which has knowledge is immaterial, because material things have no knowledge. I explained for you that material things are not aware even of themselves. If you have a statue and part of a statue is being, for example, melt, the statue doesn't understand. Even doesn't understand what is happening to part of itself, let alone what is happening around. So only immaterial things have knowledge. So this is the third argument, that everything which is immaterial has knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is immaterial. He's mujarrad. He is not material. The other quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qudra. Al-qudra, or power. We also discussed this, and we said that Al-Qudra means the agent is able to do when he wills and not to do when he doesn't will. So it's not just having the force and the power to do something. No, when theologians say Al-Qudra, it comes with will. If you can do something, but you cannot stop doing it, this is not qudra. For example, our hair grows. So we have the power to grow our hair, but we cannot stop that. So from a theological point of view, we don't have power here. Because power is used when you can do it if you like and stop it if you don't like. You understand? So we are not qadir, we are not qadir in theological sense, because we can only grow and we cannot stop our hair growing. Okay? Or for example, you know, a child is growing in his body but cannot stop. So this is not al-qudra. Wajibul wujud. The creator is capable of doing things when he wants and also not doing things when he doesn't want. It means that he is not forced by any external factor to do things or not to do things. When Allah creates us, when He wants. We cannot force Him to create. We cannot also force Him not to create. إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِذُرِّنْ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّنْ. This is one example of this, of course. It has lots of other, you know, areas. But one example is this. If Allah decides that some problem happens to someone, someone becomes ill, or someone dies, is anyone able to remove this? No. إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرِّنْ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِالرَّحْمَةٍ. If Allah wants to send His rahmah, هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ, can they stop it? No. So no one can stop rahmah coming from Allah. No one can stop a difficulty coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaf'alu ma yasha. He does what he wants. Okay? But be very careful. When we say he does what he wants, it doesn't mean that na'uzu billah he does things arbitrarily. When we use this for people, for human beings, and say he does what he wants, it can have a negative meaning. It means that he does things, you know, in vain, he does things, you know, arbitrarily. He's not listening to anyone, he's not observing any law. No, this is not the way we are talking about. When we say he does what he wants, it means that he is not forced by anyone to do anything. Because other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is there to force him? If you think about it, it's not very difficult to understand. Because anything other than Allah is created by him. And an effect cannot affect its cause. Okay? How can something which is created by God affect God? This is impossible. Anything which is created by God means whatever he has is coming from God. So then if he wants to affect God, it means that God is affecting himself through his creature, which is impossible. Because how can I do something to myself if I don't have it? And if I have it, what does it mean to do it again? Okay? How can I bring any change to myself? Be very careful. You know, we are using very accurate philosophical language. Don't say, you know, we are all always changing ourselves. We try to become a better person. No. We are using an existential sense. It means that when I don't have a quality, I cannot give that quality to myself. This is different from using, you know, common language. Say, we try to become better, we should change ourselves. No, that's another thing. Whenever you are trying to change yourself, it's not that you are giving something to yourself. You are just trying to make yourself capable of receiving a new grace from God. Otherwise, you are not changing yourself. Can I teach myself something? In the common sense language, you say, yes, you teach yourself. You take a book and you read and you teach. But in philosophical language, no one can teach himself. It means that no one can add to his own knowledge. Because if you don't have something, then how can you give it to yourself? Something that I don't have should come from another source. Okay, so when we go to school, when we read, we study, we discuss, we are not giving ourselves knowledge that we didn't have. We are preparing ourselves for receiving knowledge. According to philosophers, we receive it from Aql-e Fa'al, and Aql-e Fa'al is, of course, finally receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge comes from top. But we just should make ourselves prepared for receiving. So whenever you go to a study, whenever you go to school, to house it, you discuss, you ask, what is your role? Your role is that you are preparing yourself. You are opening your heart for the light of knowledge to come. Is it clear? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forced by anyone, because anything other than Allah is created by him, and something which is created by Allah has everything from him. So how can then he affect Allah? It implies that Allah is affecting himself, which is impossible. I maybe it was in this series or another place I mentioned that this sentence from Du'a Arafah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi, taqaddasa ridaak an takoon lahu illatun mink, fakayfa takoon lahu illatun min. Oh Allah, your pleasure cannot be caused by yourself. It cannot have a cause from yourself. Then how can have a cause in me? It means that even you are not causing pleasure to yourself. How can I please you? Okay? Even Allah does not change himself. How can I change Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay? So what does it mean then we say that, you know, this action is pleasing to God or this person is pleasing God, you know, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that we are changing God. It means that we know God wants and what God doesn't want. So when I do something which complies with His will, then I say I am pleasing God. But in a sense, it means that I have been doing something that complies with His will, which is eternal. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forced by anyone to do anything, so whatever he does is his own decision, his own will, so it's obvious that he has qudra. Because qudra is to be able to do things when you want. Kawnun fa'il bihithu idha sha'a fa'al wa idha sha'a la yaf'al. I would like to add also another point here. You know, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never questioned. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not questioned. Allah is not asked about what He does. People are asked. Sometimes people may think that this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let anyone to ask Him, to challenge Him, to question Him. Because He's very powerful, so He has the liberty of doing whatever He wants and no one can ask Him. Like, for example, a person who is na'uzu billah, for example, you know, a tyrant, and no one can ask Him. He asks everyone, but no one can ask Him. No. This is not the meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not questioned because you only question someone that can do good things and bad things. By questioning, you want to understand whether he has done something good or he has done something bad. But if someone can only do good things out of his own essence, it means that only good things come from him. It's pointless. It's useless to ask him. You can ask him for the sake of understanding, no problem. You can ask him. Allah doesn't mind. Even the angels ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسَدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِقُ الدِّمَا وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ. Allah didn't say, don't ask me. You can ask, but you ask for the sake of understanding. You don't ask because you are not sure whether he has done something good or something bad. He doesn't need to, you know, give an account so that we realize that he has done something good. And the same is true about angels. Even angels are not questioned. Because angels do good things. Okay, so it's not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with the angels is the same. Have you heard any hadith, any ayah of the Quran which says the angels will be questioned and judged? No, because they do good things. So, any being which only does good things, you don't need to judge, you don't need to question, don't need to have reckoning. But we human beings, because we can do good things and bad things, then we should be answerable. We should realize that there is accountability. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do what He wants and not to do what He doesn't want. But this doesn't mean that what He wants to do or what He doesn't want to do is based on arbitrary decision. It is based on na'uzu billah, being, you know, tyrant and things like that. Then we mentioned two points. One was that when we say He is capable of doing everything that He wants or wills, we mean by everything, everything which is possible, everything which is mumkin, contingent. If something is by itself impossible, then it's out of question. We don't discuss it. If you want to understand the power of Allah, we talk about the things which are possible. I gave you examples about, you know, for example, a mathematician. I said, you know, if you want to understand the knowledge of someone, you ask him things which are possible. Don't ask him something which is impossible. Don't say, you know, if you are a good mathematician, prove that 2 + 2 = 5. We talked about this. The other thing was that when we say He is capable of doing everything which is possible, right? It doesn't mean that He actually does everything. He is capable of doing everything which is possible, but among them He decides to do only good things. You remember we said that logically it's possible that a bad action happens. In itself, this action is possible, okay? Like punishing an innocent person in itself. But although Allah has power to do bad things, He doesn't do bad things because He doesn't will, He doesn't want, because this doesn't match His essence. So there are things that is, they are possible in themselves, they are logically possible, but Allah doesn't do them because they don't match Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence. Okay, now alhamdulillah, we have finished lesson 9 and we have reviewed lesson 9. So now we want to move to lesson 10. Lesson 10 is about some of the qualities of action, some of the qualities which are related to relations, nisbah or idafa, relations that can be between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creatures, or relations that go further and both sides are somehow related to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Examples are like creatorship, lordship. We'll talk about them inshallah soon. Just before I go to that, there is a point in the book which says that there is no way to count all the possible relations that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way to have an inclusive list, comprehensive list of all the qualities of relation or action. We discussed some of them which are very important, but there can be millions of different types of things. Those relations that we want to study also by themselves are divided into two groups. Some of them are directly related to Allah and His creatures. You consider Allah, you consider His creature, that's enough to abstract this concept, this quality of action or this relation. For example, ijad. Ijad in Arabic comes from wujud. Ijad means to give existence, to create. How do you come to this concept? Allah is giver of existence. How do you come to this concept? You reflect on the relation which exists between Allah on the one side and the creature. And you see that the existence of one side, which is the creature, has come from the other side, which is Allah. So you say Allah has given existence. So Allah is mujed. Allah is giving existence. Okay? So this is something that you have reflected on the relation between Allah and another thing directly. Or for example, we have khalq. We have ibda', to create, or to create for the first time, to create without any background, ibda'. I will talk about it later. So these are all related to something which exists between Allah and a creature. Sometimes it's more complicated. We go further in order to be able to abstract this concept. For example, rizq, to sustain. In order to come to this concept, we should consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a creature who is receiving something from Allah that he needs, or it needs, for continuity, for growth, for survival. So we say Allah is the sustainer, and that thing is the sustained one. Okay? So it's more than just Allah and something which is created. You have to bring into this other notions. Or for example, forgiveness. Allah is forgiving. Forgiving, again, is not just Allah creating, Allah giving existence. No, you have to go further. You must consider a creature who has free will. Therefore, he can make good choices and bad choices. Then he has unfortunately made bad choice. He has committed a sin. He has disobeyed Allah. Then he asks for repentance, for example. Then Allah forgives him. So in order to reach this concept of forgiving, you have to go further. Is it clear?
Yes.
But in both cases, whether it is like ijad, ibda, khalq, or it is like rizq and forgiveness, they all are qualities of actions. Okay? Qualities of action have very important characteristic. I have already mentioned this some, maybe two times at least. I mention it again, and I hope inshallah everyone remembers this. Qualities of actions are based on relation between Allah and his creature, either directly or after some process. And because this relation has two sides at least, then this relation can have some features that do not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the other side. In other words, if one side is Allah, the other side is something which has time or space, then this relation would be described or characterized by time and space because of that side which has time and space. Although the side of Allah doesn't have time and space. Maybe you can say, why it is not the other way around? When there are two sides, and one side doesn't have time and space, another has time and space. Why the relation then has time and space? Why the relation doesn't follow the first one? What is the answer? The answer is that the relation between something which is strong and weak follows the weakness of the weak side.
Which follows the weaker one.
Pardon?
It follows the weaker one.
Yes, like you know in logic. In logic, when you make syllogism, you know, you bring, you know, major premise and minor premise, and then you have result. They say النتيجه تتبع اخص المقدمتين. The result is always based on the weakest of the premises. The relation between Allah, we are not talking about existential relation. The relation between Allah, which has no time and space, and with something which has time and space, has to have time and space. Because if the relation didn't have time and space, then it couldn't belong to that person or that object. We have to always consider the weak, not the strong. You understand?
The time, you know, ends, then it's going to end that relation. How it works, then it's
like... Because this has time, so the relation also has time. The relation is restricted. Because if the relation didn't have time, so it didn't belong to this. It can be relation between God and this when it suits this side. The same is with the space. If this person is in this space, for example, this person is in UK, then relation between God and this person should be a relation which is related to the UK. Although God has no space, but the relation between God and this object here has to be limited to this place. Otherwise, would not belong to this, would not apply to this. Okay? It's like, for example, another example. If you have a very, you know, wide, very, very wide, for example, pipe, which is giving water. You know, 100, for example, you know, meter is the size, lots of wood. But then we have very little pipe, 2 inch. So from the source is 100, here is 2. The source cannot give water to this more than 2 inch. No matter the source is 100 or is 50 or 10, this is just capable of receiving 2. Okay? So in the end of the day, we have to only consider the capacity of this side. Okay? This is very important. In the physical things, in the existential things, this happens automatically. But in human relations, sometimes we don't observe this, and then we have problem. So if you are speaking to a child, no matter how knowledgeable you are, you have to narrow down your ideas and opinions so that it suits the child. If you don't do it, the child doesn't understand. You are wasting your time. Okay? Maybe you are confusing the child. But in the existential world, this never happens. In human relation, we may do it and we make mistake, we fail, but in existential world, this never happens. Never Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waste an energy or a good thing by sending to someone who doesn't have capacity. So, If you want to receive more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should you do? You should increase your capacity. Yeah? You should increase your capacity. Because Allah has no limit. There is only one thing that limits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? That is our capacity. And when I say it limits Allah, I am talking in a in the action sense. Our limited capacity limits Allah's grace. Although Allah in Himself has no limit. But our problem limits what we receive from Allah. So, this is something that please, you know, remember. Whenever there is a relation between Allah and a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that relation is characterized with the limits of the creature. It's limited by that. Okay? Therefore, it can have time. It can have a space. A person is born today. So, when this person is receiving existence? Today. It means that yesterday, Allah didn't give him birth. Allah didn't give him creation, existence. Mm-hmm. Allah has given him birth today. But this doesn't mean that today or yesterday are different for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no yesterday or today or tomorrow. Because of this side, we say he didn't give existence yesterday, he gave it today. He didn't forgive him yesterday, he forgave him today. Okay? These are qualities of actions, and we give them time or a space because of one side, not because of the Allah's side. Okay? So do you promise me to remember this? Inshallah. Now, the first thing that is mentioned in the book, lesson 10, is khaliqiyat, creatorship. Khalq is used in two ways, in two senses. Sometimes when khalq is used, it is used in a general sense, in a wider sense. And that is to create, to give existence. Whether what has been created had been existing somehow through a material, there was a material from which that has been created. So there is a kind of history behind it. Or it is totally new. Khalq, sometimes it's used in this sense. So it can be used for something which has been created from a material or something which is totally new. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, inni khaliqun basharan, says min salsal. He created Adam from clay or from dried clay. Okay? So there is a material. There was a clay. And Allah used that material. But sometimes Allah creates not from anything. You remember we talked about creation ex nihilo. The creation of this world, the whole world, was not from an existing material. Allah just gave existence. So sometimes Allah creates by using a material and giving a new form to it, sometimes he creates from totally, you know, new and fresh situation. There is another sense in which khalq is used, and that is to use it in a narrower sense for only that type of creation which precedes, which is preceded by some material. So ulama sometimes use khalq only for this type, and when they want to refer to that part, which means that has no material, they use the term ibda'. Ibda' means to create from, not from any material. From no, there is no previous material.
Is there prerequisite?
Pardon?
Is there prerequisite?
No prerequisite. Creation ex nihilo. So, please, you know, remember, khalq is used in two senses. Sometimes in a broader sense to include every type of creation. Sometimes it is used in a narrower sense in contrast to ibda'. Khalq, when it is used in the narrower sense, means to create when there is a material, opposite to ibda' when there is no material. You may ask me, Maulana, when was the creation without any material? The answer is the creation of the whole material world in the first place didn't depend on material. Also, the creation of immaterial things, that also doesn't have any material. When Allah creates angels, He doesn't use a clay or anything like that. They are created directly. Okay? So, khalq and ibda are opposite to each other when khalq is used in the narrower sense. Khalq and ibda. And it is in this sense that sometimes also we use khalq for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you know, sometimes we see that in Quran, even Quran, Allah attributes khalq to a human being, like Jesus. وَإِسْتَخْلُقُ مِنَ الْتِينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرُ. What does it mean, تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الْتِينِ? It doesn't mean that he gave existence. It means that you chose some clay and gave a form of a bird. Made it تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الْتِينِ كَهَيْئَةَ الطَّيْرِ. Means you took some clay and made it a statue of a bird. Okay? So there is a material that Jesus used and gave a new form to this. So this is خَلْق in the sense of giving a new form. But Ibda is never used for anyone other than God. Because we can never do Ibda. We can never do something, you know, create something from, you know, not from anything. Okay. How we prove that God is Khaliq, is Creator? It's very easy. Because He is the first cause, is the cause of the causes. So anything which exists is contingent and has been created by Him. It's very easy, not difficult. He is the creator of everything because He is the one that has made all the contingent beings existent. The second quality here in this lesson is rububiyyah. lordship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord. Alhamdulillah. Wow.